So tonight's lesson is lesson number 16 on amends. And again, this principle, the scriptures that go with it are at the bottom of the screen here. It talks about happy are the merciful. This is from the Beatitudes that Jesus spoke from Matthew chapter number 5. And Jesus says, happy are the merciful. Right? When we talk about making amends, we're talking about giving mercy. Mercy is you know, giving not giving someone something they deserve. Okay? When we were kids, we played that game. We locked fingers and then we just tried to crunch the other person's hands until they said mercy. And when they did, we would stop. Okay? And the idea here is that some of us are holding other people and a hostage based on something they did to us in the past. And what we want to do is become willing to become merciful to them. Happy are the peacemakers. And if we think about people who have done wrong to us, what it means to be a peacemaker is to forgive that person, regardless of what it is that they did to us. And that doesn't mean it's an easy thing, as we'll find out a little bit later. So amends, this is step 8 that we read earlier tonight. We made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And the scripture is found in Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. Will you read that with me? As you wish that others would do for you, do so to them. Luke 6:31. Thanks. Okay. What do we wish that people would do for us? Do we want to be forgiven when we make mistakes? Because certainly we make mistakes. We want people to forgive us. We want people to say, hey, I know that you made a mistake. And so do we, are we willing to do that for other people? We're going to present an overview tonight of Principle 6. And if we were to try to capture this in a sentence, we would probably use the phrase, forgive me as I learn to forgive others. This is part of Jesus' a model prayer, or an example prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. Forgive us our trespasses, or forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. And the little kid said, forgive us our trash passes as we forgive those who pass trash against us. Right? So this is something that's part of life. People deal us bad stuff. And if we want God to forgive us for the many ways every day in which we sin against him, we need to be willing to offer that same kind of kindness to people who do us wrong. We'll do a quick review right now of where we've been in our recovery. And when we started with lesson 1, and we kind of go through the Celebrate Recovery curriculum every other week, we usually have a lesson, and there's 25 lessons, so it takes about a year to get through it, and we're at lesson 16 now. So this to bring people up to speed of where we've been. At first, we admitted that we were powerless to help ourselves. Okay, that's where it starts, all right? If we can't start there, then God can't help us at all if we're not willing to say, you know what? I've been trying to do this on my own. It's not really working that well. I need help. Secondly, we turned our lives and our wills over to God's care. Okay? If I don't have the power, then someone else must have the power. And if he does, I need to find out who that is, and I need to surrender myself to that person who can help me. And number 3, we examined ourselves and made a moral inventory. We started writing out some of the things from our past that have been that may be tripping us up now. And we called it a moral inventory because we're looking back not only at some of the things that were done wrong to us, but what some of our responses were to those things that were wrong and how we may have affected other people because we were hurt. When we talk about hurt people. If you hurt me right now, later when I get into my small group meeting, I might hurt someone in there because I'm frustrated, I'm upset. It's a fact of life of how it typically works with us. Number 4, we shared our sins and our wrongdoings with God and with another person. So after we did this moral inventory, now we try to become honest with ourselves about it, we become honest with God about it, and we find another person, a very, very safe person, a person with whom we feel safe that we can share this with. And number 5, we ask God to remove our hurts, hang-ups, or habits. So all these things that we dredged up from the past, now we submit them to God and we say, God, what can you do with these? Can you help remove these parts of me that I don't want in my life anymore? And then, so what we're going to do tonight is begin the repair work on our relationships. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are all personal. They're all about you. They're all about me. When we get to principle 6, we begin to talk about our relationship with other people. And if we think about our isolation from God and others, when we're making amends, it is the beginning of the end of our isolation from God and from others. We start working on these relationships. We start building bridges to those people that we have burned bridges with in the past. And some people, you know, ask the question, why would we bother making amends? Like, why would I need to do this? Earlier we talked about, right, you know, doing this moral inventory and then becoming real with God about it, and maybe even hopefully being real with another person about the nature of our wrongs. So isn't that enough? If I've been honest with myself, or if I've been honest with God, I've been honest with myself, I've been honest with another person, like, why do I need to go back and make things right with the people that I may have hurt or who have hurt me? And we say to ourselves, if God's forgiven me, isn't that the highest ideal? He's forgiven me. Aren't I done now? It's a great question. Some people are reluctant to get into this because it feels like you're dredging up the past, and some of us don't want to go there because we're not sure. We know some of the things that are there, but we may find some other things that we have kind of packed away that we don't want to have to deal with. But what we need to know tonight is that making amends is not about your past. It's not really about dredging up the past. What it has to do with is a road forward. Okay? It's not primarily about your past. It's really about the future. And the idea behind amends you're going to see tonight is to smooth the path forward. Before you can have a healthy relationship that you desire, you need to clean out the guilt and shame and the pain that has caused many of your past relationships to fail. Think about it like a house. There have been people in your house throughout the years, the past 10, 20, 30 years. And think about what's in those rooms and the stuff that they left behind that's still in your life. And maybe you don't think about these things every day, but what we don't realize sometimes is that things from our past affect us. And the way that people treated me in the past influences how I'm going to treat you. Because you may remind me of someone from my past, or even if you don't, I have certain patterns and ways of relating to people. And because I do, I might relate to you in one of those patterns. The idea here is we need to clean out those rooms. And maybe some of those people we might have relationships with that have been in our house before. But what we need to do is clean out all the garbage that's in that room so we can say, hey, I want to start fresh with you. I want to have a good relationship with you. I want to start over. And perhaps that's not going to happen. We need to make amends, get on the other side of this, so that the other people, the new people that we're going to make connections with, don't have to sift through all the garbage that others have left in the house of who we are. So here's the 12 steps, and we're down on step number 8, making a list of all persons that we have harmed and becoming willing to make amends to them. So let's break that down a little bit. We made a list. Okay, so what we're talking about tonight is an actual list. And what might be helpful is if you take the sheet that I gave you and turn it over. And in a moment, I'll kind of give you a couple different columns. But we're talking about an actual list of actual names of people that we have harmed. And we're not necessarily making amends with them tonight. What we're doing is becoming willing. Okay? I'm not asking you to make amends with these people tonight. I'm asking you tonight just to become willing to do that. Okay? There's a big difference. We have to start with the willing part, right? So making a list has to do with identifying those who harmed you and or who you have harmed. Making a list of these people and the willingness. You only need to be willing to forgive or to ask forgiveness of these people. In Luke 6:31, we read earlier, just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. Now, this could be very difficult. Some of us have been hurt badly by other people. We may have been abused physically, emotionally, verbally. And when we think about some of the harm that's been done to us in the past, some of that we had nothing to do with. Okay, we might have been a child, we might have been vulnerable, whatever the case is. And what we often hear when we talk about this is people saying, I can't forgive them. I've tried, I just can't do it. Or someone saying, I will never forgive this thing that happened to me. Or not after what this person has done. But forgiveness is critical for recovery. We really can't move forward in our recoveries if we don't learn how to forgive. Think about deep violations that leave painful wounds, whether it's a child that's molested or there's sexual abuse or adultery, things that really strike to the core of who we are. These are very difficult things to forgive, and sometimes in religious settings, people will say, hey, you just need to forgive and get over it. And sometimes people do what's called a superficial forgiveness. They say that they forgive, but in reality, forgiveness is not a one-time event. It's not something that we do once and then it's over with. Forgiveness is a one-time event. I decide to forgive that person, but it's also a process because tomorrow it might come up again, and I may have to forgive again tomorrow or a week from now or a month from now or a year from now, 10 years, 20 years. The wounds that we have are also the root causes of many of our dysfunction. Or if we think about it, all of us have hurts, hang-ups, or habits in our lives. And many times, at the root of that is some wound that we have. Maybe not as deep as the ones that I mentioned here or as difficult as those, but most of our hurts, hang-ups, and habits come from or because of or on the condition of some of these things that have happened to us in the past. Forgiving someone who's done these kinds of wrongs, even after we've been harmed, or even after the one harm has been dealt, after we've dealt with the emotional pain of something like that, it can still be difficult to forgive. So we might have moved forward in our own life, and even after we've done that and we've healed from the emotional wound, we may still have a difficult time forgiving that person. And that's just part of how it goes. In the lessons that we move forward with in 17 and 18, we're going to talk about three different types of forgiveness. And so we're going to get into this a little bit. We won't deal with all of it tonight. For those who have been abused, the Celebrate Recovery has written kind of a special victim step number 6, and it reads like this. Make a list of all persons who have harmed us and become willing to seek God's help in forgiving our perpetrators, as well as forgiving ourselves. Realize we've also harmed others and become willing to make amends to them. Okay, so some people who are harmed as children, they take it, they internalize it and say, there must have been something wrong with me. And so what we're doing here is saying, no, I was a child whenever this kind of thing happened. It wasn't my fault. And also asking, being willing to ask for God's help to help us forgive. And then lastly, realizing that since we've been hurt, we may have, in the intervening years since then, hurt other people and become willing to make amends to those people. Let's look at the second part of Principle 6, talking about making amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. And the verse that we read the 12 steps was, so if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, you leave your gift at the altar. First go and be reconciled with your brother and then come and offer your gift. This is how we know that God is not just interested in a vertical relationship with us, because he talks here a bit about basically a worship kind of experience where you would go to the altar and you would give a gift to God. And God says in this verse that if you come to the altar and you bring a gift, but you know you have some issue with someone else, he says, don't bother with the gift. Go back and make things right with that person and then come back and offer your gift. Because our spirituality is just as much how we treat other people and how we respond to people who treat us poorly as it is how we understand God and how he treats us and how we treat him. And the first part of Principle 6 asks us just to be willing. Evaluate all my relationships. Offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me. Be willing. Be willing to do this. Okay, we need to pull up the dead weeds from our past broken relationships. And the idea here is that we're clearing space where our new relationships can be successfully planted or restored. Going back to the house metaphor, it's the same idea with the gardening principle, that there are some weeds that need to be removed from this garden plot before I can begin to plant new things. And so many of us, we replay the problems that we had in previous relationships with new people. I mean, I have a list of 30 people that I wish I could go back and make amends to. It's just not appropriate for me to because it would hurt them or others. But there's a list of about 30 people. And in order for me to have a good relationship after having some bad relationships there, 30 relationships, I needed to pull out some weeds. I needed to be willing to let God do some work in my life so that the next relationship could be healthy. So this is why Principle 6 is so important. Happy are the merciful. Happy are the peacemakers. I need to be merciful to those who have hurt me, and I need to be a peacemaker. I need to be willing to go back and say, I'm sorry for harm I may have caused you. In Participant's Guide, page number 43, it's this guide right here, which is on the back table. There is a chart in here. And one side says, I owe amends to. And so if you have your book, you can go to page 43. If not, turn over your piece of paper and make two columns. On one column, I'd say write, I owe amends to. I owe amends to on one column. And then on the other side, I need to forgive, ... Okay, so I owe amends to and I need to forgive on either side of the column. Put a line down the middle and right at the top, amends list. This is going to be how we work through our amends. So column one, I'm going to list the persons to whom I need to be willing to make amends, those who I have harmed. And then two is for the persons that we need to be willing to forgive. Okay? And so next week I'm going to ask you to fill in column two for next week. And during the next 2 weeks, we're going to pray about the past relationships and ask God to reveal persons that we may need to add to these lists. And as I explained to you, just in one situation, I ended up with close to 30 names. So then the question becomes, how do I make amends? What are the mechanics of this? Practically speaking, how does this happen? And so the word amends creates an acrostic for us. And we see what each of these letters stands for here on this list. And the A stands for admitting the hurt and the harm. I need to admit. And I need to open up to God, and I need to open up to others. For some of us, our feelings have been bottled up, and I can associate with this as a 11-year-old, just bottling up all of my feelings until my dad had to take me to see a professional because I had professionally sealed who I was, and all this stuff was inside of me, and no one could get the cap off, and it took someone with some skill, someone with training to uncork that. When we keep our feelings in, it interferes with important relationships. People can't get close to us. So we need to face the hurts, the resentments, and the wrongs that others have caused us or that we have caused others. And we have to think about the fact that resentment blocks our recovery. It's like a brick wall. It blocks God's forgiveness in our lives because God says, if we expect His forgiveness, then we need to forgive other people. Think about it when God looks down on us and we're unwilling to forgive other people, God says that to us, we don't really understand forgiveness then. Because we infinitely sin against God, but the people who sin against us, they do so finitely. They don't do it over and over every single day, generally speaking. Okay, we have people who make mistakes in our lives, but the way that we spit in God's face is very different than the way that we spit in each other's faces. Luke 6:37-38, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. forgive and you will be forgiven. Okay, very much along the lines of what we've been talking about. So we need to admit the hurt and harm. Secondly, the M is that we need to make a list. And we kind of talked on that already. But don't worry about the how-to, or the how this is going to work in making amends or giving forgiveness. Don't ask, how could I ever ask my dad for forgiveness? Or how could I ever forgive my brother for what he did? The idea is just to put the name on a list. Okay, let's just get started. Let's take the first step tonight. After we make the list, then we want to encourage one another. Encouragement is the oxygen of the soul. Have anyone ever said something encouraging to you and kind of put wind in your sails? Okay, kind of breathes new life into you when someone recognizes something in you and encourages you on that. So the idea here is to talk to someone who can be a sponsor to you, someone who understands these things, someone who's been through the 12 steps, someone who understands the 8 principles of celebrate recovery. They can make sure that your motives are right when you offer forgiveness or make amends, because sometimes we can go about this in a very clumsy way, and sometimes our motivations just aren't right, and that's not how we want to move forward. So either your sponsor or an accountability partner, maybe someone doesn't understand all these things, but they're willing to be an accountability partner to talk to you and keep you accountable to working through these things. If so, they can help guide you and be a good sounding board as you talk about these things. Share your concerns with them, and they can share their concerns with you about what you're talking about. The verse for encouraging one another comes from Hebrews 10, verse 24. Read this one with me, ready? And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Nobody likes a spur in your flesh. Nobody likes to get prodded. What this scripture says is that we should consider how we might do that for one another. If someone's kind of stuck, what might we say? How might we encourage them? How might we kind of give them a little bit of encouragement to move forward? When we think about the word encouragement, we often think of, you know, nice things that people say. But encouragement can also be a kick in the pants. And I think that's what kind of spurring one another on toward loving good deeds is about. And I think all of us probably have had someone in our life somewhere along the line who's kind of done that for us and said, hey, it's time to get going. It's time to move forward in an encouraging way. N stands for not for them. This has to do with the fact that the amends thing is not about the other people. It's not for them. Okay? And we'll kind of explain what that means. But when you offer forgiveness to another person, don't offer excuses or try to justify your actions. Just focus on your part and make your amends. Okay? There's someone who hurt me very deeply. And, you know, I've had some negative reactions over the years to what they did. Now, when I go back and I say to that person, hey, I just want to ask your forgiveness for my part in harboring bitterness and resentment against you, I'm not going to also say, but you know, I had very good reason to be resentful and bitter because of that thing that you did. And now start to yell and get all upset again. So I'm not going to offer excuses or justify it. If I had a wrong response, I had a wrong response, and I don't need to say all that other stuff. I just need to say what my part was. I can do it humbly, I can do it honestly, I can do it sincerely, and hopefully I can do it willingly. And I'm going to do it expecting nothing in return, because I might say, hey, I harbored all this bitterness against you. And they may not say, yeah, you had good reason to. They may not offer that. I might not get any reward out of saying this and sticking my neck out there. You're making amends to be set free from your hurts, hang-ups, and habits. It doesn't really have anything to do with them. What they choose to do with what you say is between them and God. You just need to be willing to take a step. Principle 6. So it's my response, my responsibility to make amends for harm I've done to others. Jesus said, but love your enemies, do what is good, and lend expecting nothing in return. So I'm going to offer amends. I'm going to offer forgiveness, and I'm not going to expect anything in return. If we think about it, when it comes to an unforgiving heart, there was a guy when I was in college, and I don't know what I did. I still don't know to this day what I did, but he was upset with me for days, I guess. And he came to me and he said, I need you to forgive me for harboring resentment and bitterness against you or whatever. And he didn't ever tell me what it was that he was upset about. He just said, will you forgive me? And I said, yes. Whatever it is I did to him, I didn't even know, but he knew. And the unforgiving spirit wasn't doing anything to me. I was going about my business life. But it was killing him. And that's the idea, that the pain and destruction that an unforgiving heart is going to cause hurt and harm for you, not for the other person. Some people are addicted to alcohol or drugs or relationships that fit some of us here tonight, me included. But some of us can be addicted to bitterness, hatred, and revenge. And you know, when I talk about celebrate recovery here in our church, I'm sure people think, oh yeah, that's for the people who are addicted to alcohol or drugs. Or they don't think about the bitterness and hatred and revenge that some of them are harboring, or that some of us are harboring. And so we can become addicted to those feelings because we know we have a right to feel these things. And we get sucked in a trap. And it's an addictive trap. Because these things that we're talking about tonight can lead to other things. It can lead to the three D's. One of them is depression. Okay? If I have all this stuff against someone else, my mind's preoccupied about what's going on, and I'm going it over and over in my mind. Despair. Boy, how are any of my other relationships going to go well if this one hasn't gone well? And discouragement. We can get very discouraged when things haven't gone well. Okay, so this isn't for them, this is for us. So we don't get caught up in those three D's. D is do it at the right time. Do it at the right time. Before you make amends, before you forgive, you need to pray and ask Jesus for help. Ask for his guidance. Ask for his direction. And ask for his perfect timing. Because your timing and when you want to do it may not be the right time for them. Okay, and here we go. Accept, I make amends, I offer forgiveness, except when to do so would harm them or others. Okay, and here's the verse for that, is in Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There are good times and good places in which to do this work, and there are times and places when it shouldn't be done. Okay, has anyone ever called you and said, is this a good time to talk? It's a very kind thing to do because it may not be a good time for you to talk. And if it's not, hopefully you say, no, it's not. Can we reschedule? So there's a good time and a bad time. We need to make sure that when we do this, it's the right time. This requires courage. This requires good judgment. Willingness, as we spoke about earlier, and a good sense of timing. Philippians 2 and verse 4, each of you should look not only on your own interest, but also on the interest of others. It's in my best interest because I'm going to celebrate recovery to make my amends to person A. And I'm going to do it whether I make a mess of their life or not. I'm going to make my amends. Okay, this scripture says it's not just our interest, it's also their interest. Okay, and there are certain people we may not be able to go back to because to re-enter into that conversation may not be appropriate. Some of the people that we might want to go back to may have been people that we dated or something like that, and to go back and have a conversation would just mess things up for them in their current relationships. We can't wait until we feel like making amends or offering forgiveness. We really need to have an act of will that says, I'm going to do this. This is an act of my will. And I'm going to do it because it's an act of obedience. This is something that God wants me to do. And I also am going to do it because it's an act of survival. Let's face it. I need to do this to move forward. Okay? So, waiting for the feeling isn't where it's at. S is that we need to start living the promises of recovery. Okay, this is a positive way to end the rainbow signifying promises. This comes from some of the AA material. Will you read this with me? If we work this principle to the best of our ability, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. When we realize that we know a new freedom and a new happiness, we will no longer regret the past. We will see how our experience with our hurts, habits, and hang-ups can benefit others. Keep going. That feeling of usefulness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in others, causing our self-seeking to slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook on life changes, and suddenly we realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Okay. When we think about these things, it's what we talked about last week. It's like a huge mill wheel, and it feels like getting that thing moving is just going to take every ounce of energy we have and maybe the energy of all our friends and family to get this thing moving and to get try to get these relationships right, to offer forgiveness, to make amends. It's very difficult. But when we take that first step in the process, God comes along and he helps us, and we start to gain momentum, and he does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. So we're looking for freedom. Freedom from the chains. And as we look into the eyes of someone that we have harmed while making our amends, we'll be set free, knowing that we have cooperated with God to reconcile with our brother or our sister or this person who we've had trouble with. Okay, the resentment, the anger, and the hurt, those chains are going to fall off. And then we have a prayer for tonight. I'd like us to read this together. Ready? Dear God, I pray for willingness to evaluate all my past and present relationships. Please show me the people in my life you want me to encounter. Give me courage to become willing to offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me. Open my eyes to the hurt I have caused others and help me to become willing to offer my amends to them. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.